My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Oh, it's 3 o'clock.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
You know, the people coming at me about me not knowing who Christian Harris is in the visual. I'm going to tell you what, and I'd be willing to bet this with many of you. If we were in a lit up dentist office, you were in the waiting room of a dentist office, I bet there are a bunch of Houston Texans that you watch every week that could walk into that dentist office and sit down in that dentist office in that waiting room and you not have a clue. You got Xavier Hutchinson. You got Xavier Hutchinson. If you were in a dentist's office and he just walked in there and sat down, you got a visual of Xavier Hutchinson. You know, like, oh, you walked in, you say, oh, that's Xavier Hutchinson, not C.J. Stroud.
Hell no, I need that number.
I need that jersey, that 19. I'm talking starters. That's some starters. You got Kamari Lassiter.
Negative.
You got Kamari Lassiter if he came and sat. Probably not.
No, probably not.
I got Stroud.
You got Stroud?
Yeah. I got Nico.
You got if Laramie came and sat down, you got Laramie.
Got Laramie.
You got Nico. You got Juice Scruggs?
Hell nah.
No, I don't think so.
Got Diggs.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, got Diggs. You got Diggs. Got Mixon. I got Joe Mixon.
Yeah, I got Mixon. Joe Mixon got Tank. Come in.
Yeah.
I don't have Tank. I don't think I have Tank.
Really?
I would say yes on Tank.
I'm not 100% sure on that.
Honestly, though, even the
I don't have Danielle Hunter. If Danielle Hunter, if I was in the lit up, I don't know that I would know. I got Will.
I think I have Danielle.
I got Will.
Mm-hmm.
Danico Autry, don't have it. and he's played for a long time.
Yeah.
Jimmy Ward, don't got it. Yeah, so get away from me on that.
Honestly, part of it, even the guys I would feel confident in, I'd be like, why are they doing it in my dentist office? So I wouldn't even, like, that guy kind of looks like Stephon Diggs, but what is he doing here?
That would be him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So then I'd be like, that's not him.
That's not him. Yeah. That's not him. You have to really give me a number.
You got to be wearing your jersey for me to believe it, too.
All right, Jerry Jones had a little thing. As the Cowboys got absolutely destroyed on Sunday, 47-9? Is that what the score was? Just got the brakes beaten off of them. And I'll be honest, they like all their home games here the last like 4 or 5 games, it's been that way. They've been down by like 20 in the first half and all these home games they've had. But he lost his mind. And Tyler texted me this earlier, and then I heard it, and I was like, I would have lost my job. I hope that I wouldn't, but I think there is a, what is the men's clinic? They offer a 95% success rate. I'm at a 95%. I would have at least said something that got me suspended, and it would have been the compassion of Jerry if he'd have felt like he was out of line. If you, someone text in, I got John Weeks and Tavier Thomas. Hell, you do. You don't have either one of those guys. But if you missed it, this was it, where Jerry basically, Sean Sharif, and I know Sean a little bit. He's been in Dallas for a long time, doing mornings for a long time, and they've had this conversation with Jerry for a lot of seasons. And he's just talking to him about, you know, the off-season clear screw-ups that they made. And he's being nice about it, but they have a relationship. You can tell they're comfortable with each other. This is when Jerry then tried to take this man's job, or at least threaten. And Jerry has enough weight that he can bully his ass like he does to take away his job. This is Jerry Jones and Sean Sharif when Jerry Jones has had about enough of being criticized for his awful offseason.
This is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask why.
Get a job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding. I'm not. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Jerry,
y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
Well, is Jerry out of line here?
Wow, dude.
I wonder if there's some people who think that Jerry's not. Because I bet you there are. You think Jerry's out of line here? All I can think about when I was listening to this, Luke, is Tyler. Is if Tyler were standing back there and this phone conversation was happening between me and Hannah or Cal McNair, and like we this happened with us and that was said to me, I've seen Tyler being very nervous back there. I mean, there is it's very unfair in my opinion, Luke, this little deal that goes around that I piss off guests or something. it is not happened as much as people say.
You just shut up and let me do my job.
In 4+ years, Trey Wingo had it coming. And
yeah, he was a real ass.
And Jim's an ass. So, I mean, like that's
who else is on that list?
I mean, I don't think that Mark Ingram was mad. I just think I caught him speechless when I asked him what's the number one superpower of David Culley? What's his great coaching tool? And he just didn't say anything.
Football playing Jesse.
I don't think he was mad, but all I can think about is Tyler being, oh God, what is this?
I'd have been in a panic. I'd have been in a panic.
Tyler may have just hung up.
Because I don't want you to get fired. I enjoy working with you Monday through Friday, so I'd be freaking out.
Text line coming in. Jerry's good. Sometimes you got to let your nuts hang. That's
different.
Jerry could have let his nuts hang without saying, I'll get somebody else in here to ask these questions.
I don't have time and then to have
that's,
a bad time.
That's where Jerry would have got me. I might have been able to laugh it off a little bit like Sean did, till he came back and said, no, I'm not kidding.
Yeah, he doubled down. Actually, this ain't a joke. I ain't kidding.
I'm serious, is what he said. No, Luke.
Yeah, you can't threaten someone's job. Yeah, you can't try to abuse your power in a way like that. That's always the worst. That's right in the line with the whole do you know who I am card. Like, who was it? Like Britt McHenry pulled on that parking lot attendant all those years ago when she was at ESPN. It's the lowest of class when
I stood next to Britt one time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She said, one day, know who I am?
No, she didn't say anything to me. No, actually, she did. It was my one day I worked for ESPN, and me and her, she was doing the TV side, I was doing the radio side, and we were waiting in the line to go on the field after a game. And she was very, very nice.
Oh, okay.
She was different than she was with that parking.
Yeah.
she was this. No, I said it earlier. I wish that my immediate thought would be to do as you said, and that is take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, so
and count to five.
That's not your style.
You gotta swallow your pride.
I can't, man. Like, my first inclination is, like, I'm just not gonna let you punk me like this. Right. That's my first thought.
What he's trying to do. He's just trying to big, you know
what?
Him.
No, what he's been. Listen, I've gotten in trouble for using certain languages. And not even going to make Tyler use it, because Tyler is a little bit more fearless in using the language. But Jerry was basically being like, Tyler, you say this sometimes. You say son of a, and then the word, if we take son of a off, and then the word that normally follows that word, those two words, son of a, you say a lot. That is what Jerry is for this. That was that word move.
You're saying what? Yes, knowledge.
Agree.
I'm not calling your dog that. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. The son
so
of a.
Good. My bitches
son,
don't care.
Son of a. Okay, that one. Son yeah, of a. Yeah. And then that word that generally follows son of a.
Yeah.
That's what type of move that was from Jerry.
For sure.
Because you're a bully. And Jerry, yeah. No, and like, it's not like, you know, if Joe Blow said it, Jerry Jones clearly has the power to get Sean Sharif fired. Jerry can say, I am not coming on this station ever again as long as he's there to ask questions.
Yeesh. Yeah, and that's the difference.
And that's the number one interview in the city.
Right. That's the problem with I don't know what the arrangement is there with how that works, but a lot of times the issue is that a lot of these people in the sports world believe that the media is there to help lift them up, and then you can never challenge them, ask the tough questions. They're almost like your PR agents, and I think that's where a lot of these conflicts always stem from. Now, this might be a little different because they have that arrangement where he comes on the show, but you're not doing your job if you're not asking those, especially the way they're playing. I mean, just like we were talking about with the Christian Harris injury. Like, you're not doing your job unless you ask those questions. And there's a lot of people that when you try to do an interview with somebody and they'll tell you, like, hey, I'll come on the air with you, but you can't ask me about this, this, and this. And there are a lot of people in this industry that'll say, well, forget it, because I have to ask you this question. Yeah, mm-hmm. You have to have that integrity. Same idea with Jerry Jones. And for Jerry or anybody else.
Well, you knew it was coming today.
Yeah, of course. I would hope so.
Maybe he was just grumpy because that ass beating the Cowboys guy was on his birthday.
On his birthday.
Yeah, yeah, they've been embarrassed all year.
Clearly, that was a part of it. Like, and I listened to it. I didn't think Sean was out of, or anybody there in that morning show on our sister station was out of line in how they asked questions.
No.
Now I think there are some that have done that. I've one of the best in the business in Kansas City. I watched himself almost get fired. And I think he probably pushed the boundaries a little bit. When you ask the owner, why have you been so cheap? That might
do it.
That's it. But I didn't feel like Sean and them were in that nature at all. I thought they were asking. Yeah,
no, they asked good questions.
The owner.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Cowboys this year have suffered, I think it's the first and the third worst losses at home in, like, franchise history. So, I mean.
Weak-ass Cowboys.
What are we talking about here? Jerry, since he's the GM and the face, somebody has to answer.
And a direct issue has been the lack of talent that they had and the lack of moves they made in the second half.
They went on talking to Jerry. And Jerry went on to say in this interview that, you know, not only could he just replace whoever they are, they said, Jerry, it seems like you're mad at us, man. You're angry at us. We're just asking you the questions on behalf of the fans. And he said, oh, no, I don't get angry with people that I know I don't have to talk to or that I can stop talking to at any time I want. I mean, he was being a real ass.
He called them Yahoos.
Yahoos, I think.
Yahoos. He was shooting for Yahoos, I think.
A couple of Yahoos.
He called him Yahoos. Hey, boy, when that boy asked him and he said, Hey, why would you say over the last decade you've been so cheap here in your spending?
This is the KC host.
The owner. My man took them headsets off and walked right off the set.
So kind of like what you did with Jim Nantz when he was on the red carpet.
And they took my man's credential. He couldn't go to a game the rest of the year.
Oh, man. That's kind of lame.
Now he works for FS1. So good for him. It's worked out for him.
Okay. Oh my God.
It's worked out for him.
Yeah.
But man, that was wild for me, boy. Because I'm telling you, but I would have lost my mind.
You could ask Jerry Jones something similar. I mean, they spent all that money on Dak, but like Derrick Henry was too expensive. He signed $8 million.
He didn't even talk to him. And he wanted to go there.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm telling
you. The Cowboys were all in this offseason, boys.
Yeah.
What is it? Every Tuesday they do it? Boy, next Tuesday, I'll be in there.
That's going to be fun.
I would be in there like this. Hey, Jerry Jones, Sean Sharif. Hi. I was wondering, how do you feel about the season tickets that have been sold this year for the Dallas Cowboys? Your answer, go.
Hey, Jer, what do you think about the great job Dak's done on third downs, you know, even amidst these ass whoopings? What do you think about Dak's performance on these third downs?
You can't say that. You can't say amidst these ass
whoopings. But it's focusing on a good thing.
Hey, Jerry, what was it like in 1993? When you won a Super Bowl championship, how did that make you feel, Jerry?
There it was.
That's what Glory I would be an ass the whole way, just like that.
Yeah, he deserves it. That was.
He wants someone else to ask questions. I would just have like bring in someone from like the sales department, anyone you could grab in the station, and have them ask the question. Like, you
hey,
want somebody
Jerry,
else?
What's
you
your
go.
Favorite color? Mine's purple. What's yours? Like, I mean, I would be.
It
like,
ain't on my schedule.
No, that would have ran me out.
Yeah, rightfully so, honestly. I mean, I would have been nervous as hell, like you said back here, if I was producing a show and someone said that to you. But at the same time, I mean, I can't believe those guys didn't push back a little harder or give him a little more like,
hell? I can believe. I can too.
I get the position and the relationship they're in, but man, that's...
There's some cats in there saw their jobs flash before their eyes.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It would suck, but I'd have to just swallow my pride and just give that nervous laughter like they did. And whatever you say, Jerry, move it along.
I'd need somebody to cut my mic off.
I got your back, bro.
But I would be fighting you on here.
If Jim Nantz threatened your job, what would you have said?
Like, I am still, kiss my ass. I am still getting fired up thinking about when he took that headset off.
I just got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
Like, when he took the headset off and put it down and kept on going, I'm still.
Oh, that's all you got, guys?
I'm still nice. Smoking hot. And I want to get Jim on. So that's my dream. That is my dream. Like, I've had several. Like, I want to interview Chuck Norris. I want to interview
the Texas Ranger.
Yeah, that's number one on the list.
Walker. Yeah, there's a channel, by the way, that just shows nothing but Walker Texas Ranger. I want to interview Chuck Norris. I wanted to have a conversation with several people, but Jim Nantz is who I want to get on, and I want to replay Jim saying in Houston. We got all this and we can talk about it. You want to talk about the Texans?
You don't want to talk about the Masters or the Final Four,
Super Bowl? You want to talk You want to talk about the Texans? I want to play that for you.
I would love it.
What would you say we should talk about, Jim?
It's on the red carpet, man.
We're in Houston.
He'd hang.
You
he'd
don't
want
throw
to
talk
the
about
off
the
again.
Masters. You don't want. No, I want his ass in studio. No. Lock the door.
You just shut up and let me do my job.
It still gets me fired up, man. Still gets me fired up. All right, coming up. I don't have any inside info on this. I'm just reading the tea leaves here and seeing what I've seen a lot in football and seeing what I've seen from this organization. I think it's going to be something that many people in Houston will love. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
that is Luke, not Nick Caserio. Luke Murrow is with us in. Can you do that? Can you do that? Can you do that?
Oh, that was him? That was Nick Caserio? I'm not going to try to imitate that.
But Luke is in. As Clint is out, he'll be back tomorrow in with us here on the drive. I don't have any inside information on this. I'm just kind of trying to put pieces together and looking at this. And we've sat here and watched this organization change, this culture change. We've seen the type of guys that D'Amico Ryans and now Nick Caserio and now Hannah and Cal McNair, what they're looking for, what they like, right? We see how much they gush over the Will Anderson Juniors. We see how much they gush over the C.J. Stroud. We see how much they gush over all of these players that are kind of built in that, what they call that swarm mentality, that mentality that they've developed. And for me, I think Laramie Tunsil's days are numbered. If you listen to them, we're running promos on here how much they gush over of Joe Mixon and what he does and what he adds. He said, "Hey, tell all the young dudes, go follow Will Anderson. Go follow 51. We see how they feel about it. Fellas, I think they've probably had about a damn enough of the dealings of the of what it is with Laramie Tunsil. And it is much easier to get out of his deal next year. Now, you might have to do some, but next, after this, it's much easier. And we all kind of thought, hey, they drafted Blake Fisher for Titus. Well, it could be either one of them, right? It could be either one of them at this point. And I think Titus is much more closer to what they're about. It's like one major player on this team that sticks out like a sore thumb that does not seem to fit what it is that they're about. And I think Laramie Tunsil is a really good player. I think he's a great pass protector. I think he's a good player. But his get down, like, you think he's going to practice this week? I bet five he ain't practicing tomorrow. He never returned in that game with that ankle. I think he rolled his ankle by himself a couple of weeks ago, and I think that's been giving him problems.
You know, he didn't sign again?
He didn't practice much. They have had issues. And to be honest, for what he makes, the drop-off ain't big enough for what Blake Fisher has been showing. And I think that's a big deal, Luke, of getting to see Blake Fisher in and say, hey, man, yeah, he's not as good as Laramie Tunsil right now. But damn, the drop-off for the money we're spending, for the headache it is, for the influence that he has that isn't really what it is that we're about. I think that the Texans may be done playing the Laramie Tunsil game.
I could see, you know, the whole question of being like, is the juice worth the squeeze, you know, financially? You could use that money elsewhere and put in Blake Fisher, who you got in the second round. You know, he's not some slouch. He can carry the torch moving forward. And for Tunsil, when you pay that much money to a guy, obviously the cliche is like the best, the availability is the best attribute, whatever the exact phrase is.
It's there. I know what you mean.
Best ability is availability. That's it.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, now when he's banged up, obviously we know about the penalties. That was such a big talking point in September. And then also, I mean, don't forget the whole change in the illegal formation, making sure these tackles are closer up on the line, not getting that head start. And look, Pro Football Focus has him graded out as this is his worst season in 4 years. You know, you have some of those penalties you have to clean up. Point being, like, when you're paying a guy that much money, the headaches just become when it's penalties, when it's an injury, when it's not practicing, and you have this other guy waiting behind him. As Chris Rock would say, you're only as loyal as your options. And if you have a pretty good option behind him, you don't need to pay all that money to Tunsil for all these headaches, for all the penalties, for this rolled up ankle that he's not even available anymore. And you can make that move where, like you said, you suffer a bit of a drop off there, but what you get back in return, even just financially, to be able to spend elsewhere, that juice might be worth, you know, that squeeze to move on from.
Every week, though.
Yes, thank you, Andre. But when you've watched the games, even if you take even if you take, like, all right, your negative feels towards Sunzel, which makes it hard to be objective. But when you watch the moments and the times that he's been out, do you feel like, boy, man, Blake's killing us? Like, is it noticeable, like, God, he is getting absolutely torched? It hasn't been. You know what I mean? And not to say what that would be over time, over a long period of time. But when you think about everything that comes with them, and I think Laremy Tunsil can work on certain teams. Like, his get down can work on certain teams. Some coaches and some teams are all right with handling, you know, that type of personality. But I think it just goes counter to everything that D'Amico Ryans and the Texans have talked about and built here. I mean, I think you got Joe Mixon killing himself trying to get on the field. And you got Damian Pierce killing himself trying to get on the field. And guys taking accountability for things that they do. And the first, he gets all them penalties against the Vikings. And the first thing we hear from him is about the officiating.
Mm-hmm.
And not himself. Like, it just does not. It just does like not that. Seem like it is. It is what they want, and what they want to bring to the table. Right. And I think this may be it, to where they go with Blake Fisher, and like you said, kind of spend that money to go to a different place and move on off of the Laremy Tunsil experience.
Yeah, I get your point. It's counterintuitive to what you're trying to build here, just from a culture standpoint or a locker room. And especially, I mean, look, it's still just the second year here for D'Amico Ryans and what he's building. And over time, you'll see who the right fits are of what for what you're trying to build and what you're trying to do, and which guys maybe don't play that role as well. And over time, maybe it becomes clear that, Tunsil's not really a good fit for us anymore. You know, when you signed that deal originally before last season, you know, things have changed since then, let alone in his performance this year as well. But yeah, if Fisher keeps playing well, certainly I could see that move, and I wouldn't be opposed to it. And to your point that you just made, yeah, when he's out of the game, that's always the greatest factor, is how much do you miss somebody when they're not around? And I don't think Tunsil has provided that, where you're like, oh, shoot.
Yeah,
he better get right back out there, because we're screwed without him.
Like, you could watch at times last week, and we'll see even more this week, and you saw it in the second half or most of the game against the Bills. Like, you notice Nico Collins isn't there. Like, mm-hmm. You notice how the adjustments and the changes they had to make, because 12 wasn't there.
It was obvious when Joe Mixon wasn't out there in the run game.
Clear when Joe Mixon wasn't there.
Yeah.
And they bring all the qualities and everything that they love to being here, right? They got a captain who didn't practice the training camp, right? And to me, it feels like they know they have to make him a captain, because he might feel some kind of way and how he may go. I think they're done. From the text line, damn, Ron, you got to look at the negative every damn time. Say something nice about the team once, please. Just listen to the show. Listen to the show and listen to the actual words that are being said, and not what you want to be said. And you'll hear the positive things.
A new world will be opened up to you.
I'm telling you, I promise, if you just listen for real. Ron, old take, I said Laremy was dead weight months ago. I don't think that's what they said, though. I don't think the Texans have said that. I don't think the Texans have felt that. They have. Have you noticed, though, they've been less supportive? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I've definitely noticed that they haven't as staunchly come out to be like, you know, we love Laremy. Like, he's fine.
D'Amico would do that last year. Yeah. They've been less. They've been
fed
less
up.
Yeah.
I had enough over these years.
And I think the contract now comes to a point where mm-hmm. you can do something about it. And they have a replacement in there that they drafted last year that's already – he's already got a start for Titus. He's already now played, you know, a lot of the second half and fourth quarter against the Patriots. It is starting to make sense that the days may be numbered for Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah. I know they gave him that contract last year, you know, with this regime and everything. But as someone points out, like, you know, Bill O'Brien guy, when you bring in a new regime, you like any company, when a new boss comes in, you survey the landscape. Okay, who's valuable? Who should we keep? Who should we not? And, you know, he just might not be a good fit for that locker room anymore.
No, and I think that's the big thing. All right, coming up, We got to get with our guy Luke about this conversation that's been forming since the Texans blew out the Patriots. How and what kind of contenders? Are they AFC contenders or are they Super Bowl contenders? We'll discuss that.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Coming up next. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I've never noticed how much Prince William looks like John Smoltz.
Oh, he does. Now that I bring him up in my head, he does.
It wasn't the plan with his hair to leave him the way it did to make him start to look like John Smoltz.
Just shave it, bro. Just do like Cecil and shave that thing.
I just pull that up. He's tossing a pigskin is what the headline reads at a flag football
that
event.
Some reason makes it even better. Old Prince William just tossing around the pigskin.
That's what it says. And in the words of Luke, he may look like John Smoltz, but he sure as hell don't throw like him.
I mean, we can't get him like a youth-sized football or something. Instead of the Duke.
I wish you could see this. I'm gonna retweet the picture, man. If you retweet the picture, I'm trying to find a video of him dropping back and throwing this, but I've just retweeted it, and you can clearly look at it and see. This man's not a thrower.
Never touched a pigskin in his life.
I don't know if he is, but you could tell he's not a thrower. I mean, he looks like he's damn near shot putting it out. Like he's
stick to cricket, Will.
It's like this.
Yeah, just pushing it forward.
Shot putting that thing.
Look over there. You come over there. Damn, John Smoltz. Well, I know he could throw better than that. God,
righto.
Which sport, if you were not good. If you couldn't do a certain skill set in sport, any sports, which one is the most embarrassing? Like not being able to throw a football, not being able to shoot a basketball.
Throw a baseball, man.
Yeah. Everybody's played catch,
man. That's the most embarrassing if you can't throw a
baseball. When you see, like, it is, because, I mean, let's just pull the curtain back. A lot of it, or the carpet.
And the carpet.
A lot of the black basketball players, when they had to go out and throw the first pitch.
Oh, yeah.
The national pastime.
Those are some of the greatest athletes in the world. You think about what they can do, run, jump, hand-eye coordination, everything they can do. You watch some of them catch, go stand over and throw that first pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't look more unathletic.
Oh, no.
I mean, couldn't look more unathletic. Like, they ain't never. Like, you know, Houston had a real, real special treat with Tracy McGrady, who has pitched before and can throw, and he looks fine.
Shout out Sugarland Skeeters.
I think it was Giannis. Giannis looked like he had never seen the object before, let alone, like you sit there like, damn, man, y'all ain't never played catch? Ain't never played catch.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's the one. That's embarrassing. Like, for me, like, you know, the golf swing, that's not embarrassing. I mean, it can look bad. I mean, I've almost broken my ribs swinging a driver. Thing, and it came back in on me.
Charles Barkley over here.
Like, I'm swinging at an inside pitch or something.
Probably still looks better than Clint Sterner's swing, though.
Okay.
Got jammed by a golf ball.
Yeah.
On a tee.
Like someone said, you've seen 50 Cent throw. Yeah, but at least, I mean, 50, yes. But I've seen athletes, like some of the best athletes in the world, get this, like basketball, that cannot, their whole form, you can see them, and they look like a four-year-old trying to throw. It's a tough one to watch.
Tom Cruise got made fun of because in War of the Worlds, his character is playing, I think it's War, whatever that movie's called, when the world is ending. He's playing catch with his daughter in the movie. He can't throw a baseball either. Looks terrible.
For some reason, that does not surprise me.
Yeah. I remember when that movie came out, everyone was making fun of him.
I don't know. That's surprising. I would think Tom Cruise
is weird, man.
Has played catch with his dad.
I don't know.
I'm surprised Tom has not played catch. Tom's old, where baseball was the sport.
Maybe not in Scientology.
Tell you, boy, go watch some of them Rockets players get out there and throw out that first pitch. That's a tough look. All right, Luke. We talked about this. This was a big conversation. I know J-Lo talked about it on In the Loop. We talked about it a bit yesterday. Where do you stand? Because I think there are people in many camps. I saw some people here on the text line say yesterday, I'm not quite ready to say that they're Super Bowl contenders. There's still some things that they do that make me nervous. They still got some issues inside, whatever. And then there are some people, a lot of people, hell yeah, they're Super Bowl contenders. I think they can play with anybody. And we're 6 weeks in. They're 5-1. They've got one of the best records in the sport. Where are you in this? Where are you? Have you seen enough from this group to put them in that category of Super Bowl contenders?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look around the league.
Absolutely.
I don't know who else or how many other teams you put in there and exclude the Texans. And no team's perfect. That's the whole design of the NFL with the salary cap and the parity and everything. I mean, we could poke holes in all the Vikings. You have concerns over Sam Darnold. Even the Chiefs have some questions, especially with lack of playmakers on offense outside of Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you could go through every team and talk about your concerns. Every team is going to have concerns. But the Texans certainly have put themselves in the conversation. And I don't really get the idea that suddenly, I don't like this like back and forth week to week thing. Well, now they beat the Patriots. Now they are Super Bowl contenders. Like
beating the Patriots should.
That's what I mean. I don't know why suddenly after Sunday people are now having this guy like, oh yeah, they are Super Bowl contenders. I get you wanted to see them blow a team out, get a nice win for once by a large margin. But look, the NFL, I think that's the concern of a lot of people is that the Texans have played a bunch of close games. You know, they'd only covered the spread once prior to Sunday, which is sometimes a sign of underachieving. But the NFL's a one possession. It's a one score league, typically. And this year in particular, the favorites, we've had the smallest favorites on average in NFL history. Teams that are favored to win games are favored by 4 points on average, which is the lowest number we've ever had.
Offense has been down.
Points
have kind of had a call.
So, you know, point being, like, teams are more bunched up now than ever before. And so the fact that the Texans are winning close games, like, that's some sort of negative. I always look at it like golf. You know, in college football, you need the style points. You don't need that in the NFL. And when you come off the golf course, people just ask you what you shot. They didn't ask you how you got there. You know, what was your score? 66? Okay. They don't ask, well, what'd you do on the ninth green? You know, all this sort of stuff. Same idea in the NFL. Like the Texans, you get to 12 wins, you're a 12-win team. It doesn't matter if 8 of those wins were by less than a touchdown, for example. You know, you're still finding a way to win a game. And the NFL is typically a one-score game, and good teams find ways to win. And that's what the Texans have always done under Stroud. So I say, yes, a contender. And then to flip it, my questions are, like, what more do you need to see to think that this team can compete with the top teams in the AFC or in the NFL?
Yeah, I think I need to see them play better when they are – because, really, they haven't played – I think Buffalo was really the only team, I think, thus far. We'll see what the Bears are. The Bears are not the same Bears team from week two. But we'll see what they are down the line. They're 4-2 as well. But Buffalo feels like the only, I think, team that you look at like, you know, that's a team that may be able to make a run. And they beat them. I think Sunday will say a lot. But I think when you compare to what the rest of the league is right now, I think, as I said yesterday, you have to make them contenders. But I think there is a thought of, yo, man, we struggled and had to win tight against Jacksonville, and other teams that like themselves as contender are blowing the Jags out. We played a tight game against the Colts, and other teams, you know, have handled the Colts pretty well. You know, we played a tight one against Buffalo, and damn, you know, the Ravens just blew them out the week before. To me, and then the game that they played against a team that is thought to be pretty good, the Vikings, who are 5-0, beat the brakes off of. Like, it was no contest ever. And I think Sunday will be a big key. Because to me, Sunday, if they get rolled, now if they lose and it's a good tight game, you're like, hey man, you're going to Lambeau, you're playing a pretty good team, and you're playing them on the road, they got you. If this is a double digit game and it's one of those games in which, you know, they're never really in it, then that to me may make you feel a little bit different, because that would mean, all right, the Packers and the Vikings, the two teams that they've played, that they got beat handily. That to me will change it. But right now at 5-1, and when you look at everybody else around, I mean, I think you would almost just be a hater if you're saying, like, nah, I don't think they're on the level of those other teams.
Yeah, because I think we need to change, like, almost our definition of contender just by looking at the rest of the league. I would challenge people that say the Texans are not a contender to build your list, that top tier of teams in the NFL, because I'm curious how many teams you're willing to put above the Texans. Like, you want to tell me the Chiefs, just because, you know, Patrick Mahomes are always going to be number one in power rankings because they're the team you fear most because of the quarterback? Like, I get that. Vikings beat the Texans. You want to put the Vikings ahead? Like, sure, okay. But how many teams are we getting to without including the Texans? There's not these great teams. The Packers, I think, have a lot of questions, and they're a team that people really like in the NFC. And for Sunday, I'm with you. Sunday is a big test, but I don't like the spot for the Texans on the road, back-to-back weeks, going outdoors to Lambeau, where it's going to be a little colder. It's still October, at least. You're not going in December, but, you know, the Packers were just home on Sunday, so they get to stay home. It's a tough spot for Houston.
Yeah, but you shouldn't get your ass kicked.
No, I agree.
That's what I mean. It shouldn't look like the Vikings game. It's a tough spot. But if they get beat down, it shouldn't look like that.
That's
for a contender.
I agree with you there. They gotta show that they belong. They're in that same tier with the Green Bay.
Yes. It's a one score game. They're going back. Yeah. That makes sense. From the text line, Ron thinks the Jets are Super Bowl contenders. Thanks for listening to the show, guys. Now, Clint has the Jets in the Super Bowl.
Oof. The sense of humor that and the universe
Aaron,
has.
And Aaron winning the MVP, so they're going to turn it on.
Here. Yeah, good thing they got Davante Adams then.
Now,
breathing it is. Life.
Now it is. 2-4 Jets. No,
that made me football horny.
I don't think the Jets and the Cowboys are like in the same range. Like they feel like the same type of team. All right, coming up. Speaking of this weekend, the likes of Sam Darnold, who's having a career year, Josh Allen, who was an MVP candidate coming into the game against the Texans. Those are some of the quarterbacks they've played. Is this the best quarterback they're facing coming up on Sunday in Jordan Love? And it's time for somebody to have a come-to-Jesus meeting. Somebody to have a come-to-Jesus meeting for the Texans. We'll discuss that coming up next. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.